Praise the Lord. The reading's taken from today, Judges 6, 1-16, page 248. Praise the Lord. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because of the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of the Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I have drove them from you before and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah and that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' But sir, Gideon replied, 'If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord had abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?' But Lord, Gideon asked, 'How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord said, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.' This is the word of the Lord." Praise be to God. Amen.
Good morning. How are we doing? It's so good to be here. The welcome here has been incredible. I love what you guys are doing. I love the work you guys are doing, where you are situated within this community. I've long been a fan of All Saints, and your reputation goes wide and far. As Jonathan said, my name is Ben Lindsay. I'm one of the pastors and leaders at a church called Emmanuel New Cross. I have been involved engaging with youth violence, community safety for the last 20 years in different guises. I have written a book. I'm a father of three. My lovely wife, Billy, is over there in the corner. And, it's just brilliant to be here. What I want to talk about today is knowing your calling. Knowing your calling. We hear a lot about that, don't we, in the culture we're in today. What's your calling? What's your destiny? What are you going to do? And as I mentioned, I've got three children. Hopefully a picture will come up of two of them. There they are. This is Esme and Hector. I better mention Rufus, because if he ever hears this, and he'd be like, why didn't I get mentioned? But Rufus is my youngest. And we were in an interesting situation. This picture was taken about a year ago. And my wife decided to take Esme, the middle child, to ballet. So she gets there, and there's all these other little girls there, and she's a little bit nervous because she's not quite sure what's going on. But the ballet teacher says to all the girls, okay, we're all going to pretend to be princesses. At which point, my daughter turns around to the ballet teacher and says, I don't want to be a princess, I want to be Batman. I think my wife had a nice smile on her face. You know, we don't try to mould our children into any stereotypes. But clearly there was an interesting moment where what Esme wanted to be, her current situation and what she was called to be, all kind of came into conflict a bit. Teacher wanted her to be a princess. She wanted to be Batman. I'm not sure if either are going to play out that way in her life, but who knows? I think that we can also find ourselves in those situations. What do we want to be? What our current situations are, and what are we called to be? Fortunately, God is a lot clearer on the plans he has for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." But the question is, how does God's calling and plans for us play out in reality? Well, we've just read Judges 6, and I think the story of Gideon can really help us actually understand the processes that God sometimes uses to work out and prepare us for our calling, our purpose, and our destiny. Now, the interesting thing about Gideon is that when you look at him, there wasn't really anything special about him. His circumstances seem to be extremely painful. Gideon is also fearful, and he's actually doing a mundane job, just like many of us here. You all look amazing, but we have to be honest, none of us are that special. And just in case we think we really are, just go and take a walk. Sometimes I take a walk in Nunhead Cemetery because I just walk around, and when my ego gets a little bit out of control, I think to myself, gosh, every single person in this cemetery also at some point thought they were the man, thought they were the woman, thought they were excellent, and now we don't even remember them. That's just me, just to keep my ego in check. I walk around the cemetery. You don't have to do that, but it's just something I do. This isn't a confession time. Gideon wasn't that special, yet God called him to something greater than he could possibly imagine. And this is the message for today, really. No matter what your life stage, no matter what your circumstances are, know that God has a plan for your life. Amen? We're going to get a bit Pentecostal today. Amen? Okay, cool. Just checking you're still with me. So what can we learn from the life of Gideon to help us work out our calling? Well, like all good preachers, I have a three-point sermon, and we'll go into it. So the first lesson from Gideon's story is we are to embrace our environment. Embrace your environment. Gideon's environment, as we heard, was very, very difficult. The Midianites were oppressing Israel. There was suffering, there was injustice, there was exploitation, there was fear. It is not actually too dissimilar to what is going on in the UK. If we pull up the next slide, you can see some headlines which kind of support my statement. Lots of things going on, whether it's youth violence, whether it's things around immigration, homeless people, the climate change. There's lots of stuff going on in our lives, in our environments, in our communities, which result in suffering, fear, oppression. Now, granted, it may impact us all differently, depending on maybe what we earn, our backgrounds, but it's very hard to ignore. Gideon is a product of his environment, and so are we. And yet God's call is very specific to what Gideon sees day to day. And it has an impact on his life. You see, the things that you see in your life, the things that you see in your community, the things which are breaking your heart are sometimes clues and pieces of a puzzle, a window into the heart of God for your calling. Sometimes the things you see are a clue to your purpose and your destiny. You see, God is all about the detail. None of you are a mistake. You were born in a specific time, in a specific place, in a specific culture, in a specific context to be an impact for Him. And whatever is going on in our environment, whatever is going on in our community, through His strength, we are to embrace and wrestle in prayer with what's going on. This is my own experience. There's been significant moments in my environment growing up which has shaped my calling. I grew up in a single parent household. It wasn't all negative. Some people say that I'm spoiled. No, I'm just well loved because I'm the only child. And face it, when you're the only child. Thank you. Yeah, clap. That's good. Us only children get a hard time. Wasn't spoiled. Well loved. It wasn't all bad. But growing up in a single parent household, it shaped my heart and also a passion for other single parents to flourish. I grew up at a time when Stephen Lawrence was murdered. I grew up a mile away from where Stephen was murdered. When he was murdered, I was at school. I was 15 at the time. That racist murder a mile away from my school impacted me and impacted how I saw my environment. I grew up at a time when Nelson Mandela was still in prison in South Africa fighting against the apartheid regime. This type of stuff I'm seeing and being spoken about in my family and seeing on the news impacted me and how I saw the environment. The moment which really changed is when I became a Christian at 21 years old. My wife and I did an Alpha course. And at the moment I gave my life to Jesus, suddenly my eyes opened to the pain and suffering specifically going on in my community. And everything which I'd seen in my life up to that point suddenly started playing out in, you can do something about this, in my strength. So while it was a surprise at the time when God said to me, write a book on race, when I look back, it's almost like God was preparing me through some negative experiences about writing this book. When I look back at my own experiences as growing up as in a single parent household, it doesn't surprise me that I became a pastor caring for the community and also seeing some other violent stuff not so much in my family, but around with my friends. It doesn't surprise me that I've launched a charity around youth violence. You see, God, through your past and present, is specifically showing you His heart, and this is a clue to your calling. Don't dismiss it. Don't ignore it. It's not an accident. You see Gideon wrestling and praying around his environment, embracing his environment. We are to do the same. Lesson two from Gideon's story, know your identity. Know your true identity. See, it's ironic, isn't it, when it comes to Gideon? Gideon was threshing the wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, and this is a slightly different version, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. How hilarious. How funny that we can say that Gideon is a mighty warrior. It's like when my children or other kids of a certain age say, I'm going to be a professional footballer. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to break your heart. Go for it. We'll keep going, even though we know it's 0.0% of people who ended up being professional footballers. Or other people, maybe some people in my household who may see X Factor and say, I can do that. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Maybe. Or when people say to me, oh, I'm going to run a marathon, and they've not even run 5K. It's like, You have these moments when you're thinking, I'm not sure the reality and what's in your mind and fantasy kind of link up. But yet here we are, God saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. See, your calling requires you to hear God's voice over other people's voices, even if it seems ridiculous. We are to embrace our true identity. So last year, we all remember the wedding of Harry and Meghan. And maybe we remember it for different reasons. Maybe we remember it because it was an incredible display of diversity. Or maybe we remember it because there was a really, really long sermon with it. I don't know. But it was, whatever we remember it for, it was great. An American mixed race, the full C from a single parent family, ends up becoming a royal. It wasn't a classic journey, not an obvious choice, not your typical princess. But it doesn't matter, because whatever people think, her identity is now royalty. That can't be taken away from her. She is royalty. And God says something, and we need to hear this. Whatever we think we are, whatever we've been told, whatever lies we've been given, if you are a Christian here today, you are known as a royal priesthood. You are known, let's get Pentecostal. Amen? We're getting there, we're warming up. We're known as ambassadors of Jesus. This is our identity. So when God says, oh mighty man of valor, to Gideon, we have to accept it because that's what God says. And it's not a classic journey. Gideon is not an obvious choice. He's hiding. He's scared. He even says, my clan is the weakest. It doesn't make any sense. But this is the identity that God has bestowed upon him. The monk, the writer, the theologian, the mystic, the poet, the social activist, Thomas Merton, said this: the less we are mesmerized by human voices, the more we are able to hear the divine voice. When God speaks, we are to listen to his voice above anyone else's, rather than the very, very powerful voices of the culture, the media, marketing. I feel that for some of us, we may have had negative labels placed on us from birth. Maybe your family, maybe your friends. That's not God's voice. The divine voice is saying to you this morning, you are a royal priesthood. Hear that above anything else. When God speaks, we are to listen. The one who made us wants to cement his identity in you. Here's just a few verses which will remind you of your identity this morning. You may recognize some of them. I am the creator and you are my creation. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. I created you in my own image. My eyes saw your unformed substance. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know the numbers of hairs on your head, and before a word is on your tongue, I know it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more valuable than many sparrows. I have given you dominion over all sheep and oxen and all beasts of the field and birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea. I have crowned you with glory and honor as the pinnacle and final act of the 6 days of creation. He's talking about you and me. I'm excited about that. God wants to introduce you and remind you of your true identity today. And your true identity is intrinsically linked to your calling, your purpose, and destiny. Sounds really big, doesn't it? But this is the truth. On your journey to working out your calling, remember, God sees what you can't see. We look in straight lines. God can see around corners. That's the truth. And we are to amplify and magnify the truth, turn down the lies of the culture, marketing, history of our lives, family and media. Lesson three from Gideon. Lesson three. Embrace your circumstances. We learn that Gideon is called to be the answer to his own circumstances. And this is what God says, Judges 6:14. Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? What, if anything, we can learn from this story is that your calling is always greater than your expectations. But that's okay, because God then says, but I will be there with you. And there's this lie, isn't there, which we've taken on board, even in Christian circles. I hear this a lot. God will never give you more than you can handle. Have we said that a few times? That's not even in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is specifically around temptation. It says this, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We've somehow flipped it into God will not give us any more than we can handle. The truth is this. Let me let you into a little secret. God regularly gives you situations that are beyond you. That's the truth. Why? So it forces you to rely on him. It forces you to get on your knees daily and cry out to him. It forces you to surrender to him, to know him, to trust him. That's the truth. And we have plenty of examples in the word which back this up. Moses, 8-year-old man who couldn't speak very well. Yeah, go and tackle Pharaoh, the superpower of the day. I think that was a little bit beyond him. David, skinny little wretch of a kid, go and take on Goliath. Again, I think that was a bit beyond him. Esther, okay, Jewish girl, go and be queen. Probably a little bit beyond her. Mary, I don't know, just give birth to the savior of the world. You know, no big deal. Beyond her. Peter, oh man, we could do a whole sermon series on Peter. The rock, yeah, denied Jesus. How many times? 3 times. And yet the early church was built upon him. It's good to know we're in good company, aren't we? When our calling comes, we're like, whoa, what are you asking me to do here? We're in good company. Your calling is always beyond you. Gideon sees this disconnect between his calling and his present circumstances. And we tend to make 2 mistakes when trouble comes to us. First of all, we see our trouble as evidence that God has left us, instead of asking how God is working through our troubles for our God, our good and his glory. The second mistake we can make is that we're often waiting for God to do something to us and for us through these problems that we have. We wonder why he doesn't use someone to bring help. We say, Lord, remove this problem from me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But we can also say, Lord, please help me to be the person who can either endure the problem or help me to be the person to rise up to tackle the problem. One person like that. That's good. We're getting there. Again, there's evidence of this. The next slide, we'll see 6 people who have gone through all this type of stuff. Nelson Mandela in circumstances around apartheid. Martin Luther King, circumstances around the civil rights movement and the discrimination against black people in America. Emmeline Pankhurst voting around women's rights and the sexism which was going on then and still today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Nazi regime. There's a lot of stuff going on around these people. Doreen Lawrence ends up losing her son to a racist murder. Malia, a Pakistani activist for female education and the youngest Nobel Prize winner before that, is shot in a Taliban attack. Yet, in some shape or form, their lives have gone on to represent something greater. Now, some of you might be thinking, that is some very dramatic illustrations. Yes, they are. The point is, though, is this. They were all normal people like us, witnessing stuff going on around them, and God has used them in different ways. They found themselves in challenging situations that led to a greater purpose. This can be us on a micro level or a macro level. Our circumstances do not need to be the end of us. One of my favorite verses in Genesis 50 is this. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. The tasks, the duties, the assignments and the missions that we are currently called to can be a clue to our greater purpose, no matter how hard or challenging or even how horrific they've been. Because God says this, but I will be there with you. God never leaves us, especially in the tough moments of our lives. Martin Luther King said this, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort or convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. That is when we see what we're about and what God's about. Challenge and controversy is where the best preparation for your calling happens. Comfort and convenience has the ability to stall and stunt God's plan. So verse 14, Gideon, God says, go in this might of yours. I say to you this morning, your Father in heaven says this to you, go in this might of yours and challenge injustice. Raise godly children. Be the light in your community. Show love in the face of hate. You will know what is stirring in your heart, what breaks your heart for the things around your community. God is telling you to be part of the solution. It's all preparation for your calling, your destiny, and your purpose. So, to conclude, we should not be surprised to see the call of God on our lives and in others. I think sometimes we can be dismissive of ourselves or others to be part of the solution. We serve a mighty God who uses ordinary. I can't work this all out. Why? I sometimes think to myself, there must be an easy way of doing this, God. You're choosing me, or you're choosing other people who are flawed, who make mistakes, to be your ambassadors. That's how he does it. That's always how he's done it. And Jesus is the greatest example of this. He was born not in royalty. He was born in poverty and became the savior of the world. So the question is simple. As the poet Mary Oliver says, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? She asked that question. God is asking the same question today. I feel there's some people here who may be struggling to see their calling, struggling to embrace their environment, to know your true identity, to embrace your circumstances. If that is you, I'm just going to ask you to stand, because I just want to pray for you. It's that simple. If you're struggling, if you're thinking this environment around me is just a bit too crazy and I don't quite understand how I'm doing to deal with this. If you're like, actually, I know that my identity is everything I've just heard, but I'm struggling to connect that to what I see daily. If your circumstances, whether that's personal or something wider, is you're struggling with, God wants to strengthen you today and remind you that it's his Holy Spirit who will get you through. If that is you, I'd just love you just to stand, and I just want to pray for you. And if nobody stands, I'm going to pray for myself, because I need to know this. Thank you. You see, as I said, power to fight stands for powering yourself for the fight that we're dealing with on a daily basis. As Christians, primarily we do that through prayer, the word of God, his Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the people here who have stood to say, I'm struggling to see your word, your truth, maybe play out in my life, struggling with my environment, understanding my true identity, knowing my circumstances. I say, Holy Spirit, fill your children with your strength, your power, your endurance, your truth. Minimize the voices of the culture and the media and past history. Magnify and amplify your voice, your truth, your love, your desire, your purpose for everyone in this room. Your Father in heaven says, but I will be there with you. Your Father in heaven says, go in this might of yours. Your Father in heaven says, you are mighty men and women of valor. Amen.